Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you may have seen the story on the front page of this morning's Times about the document number 9, a memo circulated throughout the Chinese Communist Party detailing 7 subversive Western ideas, such as constitutional democracy, that could threaten the party if not suppressed. This comes as little surprise to our next guest, Jason Ng, who runs a popular blog cataloging the many terms censored on the Chinese social media site Weibo. Jason is a 2013 Google Policy Fellow at the University of Toronto Citizen Lab, and his new book is called Blocked on Weibo, What Gets Suppressed on China's Version of Twitter and Why, and he joins us now. Jason, welcome to WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Brian.
And listeners, we'll put out the call. We don't have a lot of time for this segment, but if you have ever seen anything or had anything blocked, if you're Chinese or Chinese-American and have tried to use Weibo, 212-433-WNYC. And Jason, according to the Times, this document number 9 warns of topics like Western constitutional democracy, universal values of human rights is another one, media independence, civic participation, pro-market neoliberalism, and criticism of the party's past, like there are terms relating to Tiananmen Square. But based on what you've seen censored on Weibo, does any of this surprise you?
No, it doesn't. It speaks to, I guess, the inherent contradictions in what's happening in Chinese politics today. You could almost make a sort of analog to the leftist elements of the Chinese Party are sort of like the Tea Party in the U.S. in that the politicians in the Chinese government have to sort of play to that base, and so there are a lot of elements that may be considered destabilizing so that they have to over-censor to compensate for that.
What's the significance of Weibo to China? I was in China last fall, and many of the people I met said, well, yeah, there's censorship and there are terms that are blocked on Weibo, but this is actually an area of relatively free speech, including political speech. And the Chinese authorities don't mind that much if the elite, the relative elite, technological elite, are communicating with each other on Weibo and having open conversations. They don't like things to get into the mass media like Chinese state television, but that Weibo is actually an outlet that they let people talk more freely on. Is that your take?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's totally right. When people think about censorship in China and the internet, especially with regards to the internet, they think of there being a totally oppressive environment. But in fact, there's quite a lot of vibrant discussion, specifically, as you said, so long as it doesn't touch onto sort of mass movements and bringing together collective action. So people theorize that it serves the party's purpose for two ways. One, it allows people a chance to vent, but also it allows government officials a form of accountability in that they could check up on people's grievances and follow up on particular officials who do wrongdoing, for instance, corruption or oppressing local citizens. So it serves the party's purpose to have this sort of discussion online, so long as it doesn't bleed into, calls for political reform.
So I'm looking at your book, and some of the words or terms that are suppressed on Weibo are not surprising, but some are. One is the word sensitive. Another is the word Bloomberg. What is it? Are they big fans of large soda servings?
It's actually, Bloomberg is one of the more curious ones. Of course, if China hands out there, they'll realize that the Bloomberg, the website, is actually blocked in China due to a June 2012 major story that they put out detailing the wealth and collected by Xi Jinping, who's the current General Secretary of the Communist Party, and detailing his wealth. But the search block actually predates that. It goes back to early 2012, and which was curious to me because a lot of the media organizations that you find blocked from searching on Weibo are organizations like Voice of America or Penn International, folks with more human rights bent. But Bloomberg is one of the major organizations that were blocked that surprised me.
Mm-hmm. And how about the word sensitive? Why that?
Sure. Sensitive is actually, it can mean a whole a range of things. It can also, it not only means sensitive with regards to, say, you're sensitive to air pollution or something, but also means you're sensitive, a topic is politically sensitive. So just mentioning or discussing the fact that a story is sensitive refers back to the fact that there's actually a system in place to ensure that some content isn't sensitive. So it's a reference to, by using the word sensitive, you're referring to the censorship system.
That's very meta. How about the word UltraSurf? What's that?
UltraSurf is a piece of a circumvention software. Basically, there's within China, there's this so-called Great Firewall in that you can't access websites outside of the country like Facebook or YouTube. So what you have to do is actually install software on your computer to allow you to get access to outside sites. And one of those programs is called UltraSurf, which obviously the Chinese government doesn't like the fact that people climb over the Great Firewall, even though hundreds and thousands of people do every day. But in particular, this particular piece of software is even more sensitive because it's was founded by a Falun Gong member and is, was supported at various points by the NED, which is part of the U.S. government.
And similarly, I guess, the very word Twitter is one of the banned words on their version of Twitter.
Right, exactly. Although it's interesting, I think Twitter right now is actually unblocked. So that's one of the things from my research in that these words, these terms aren't static. They get blocked and unblocked due to various whims of people. These are actual people that are employed performing this sort of censorship, adding words to these blacklists. So for some period, I guess Weibo, the company decided Twitter wasn't kosher for discussing on Weibo, but now it apparently is.
And since most of the terms that are suppressed on Weibo that we've been discussing are political, I'll throw in one other, the term nude photograph.
Right. Again, that's one of those, if you want to classify major buckets of words that are blocked on Weibo and on the Chinese content that's blocked on Chinese internet in general, you'd have words related to political reform, collective action, you know, the things that we would normally come to mind when we talk about mm-hmm. content that's censored online. But then there's a whole host of words related to immoral practices and prurient issues like sex and nude photographs and stuff like that.
How about pro-gay speech? How free is that in China? We're so focused now on how free it isn't in Russia.
Yeah, I think there's been an expanding allowance for that sort of thing, especially in the past decade or so. During the Mao years, certainly there was a sort of restriction on the sorts of what they would term immoral or spiritually polluted action. But
and we have 15 seconds left.
Sure. In recent years, it seems like it's expanded to be a bit more open.
Jason Ng, NG, is a 2013 Google Policy Fellow at the University of Toronto Citizen Lab. His new book is Blocked on Weibo, What Gets Suppressed on China's Version of Twitter and Why. He also runs the popular Tumblr blog by the same name, Blocked on Weibo. Jason, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.